Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There aren't many children in here, but there probably are some grandparents who will recognize Cocomelon. Any grandparents are familiar with Cocomelon? Then you don't have grandchildren that you babysit for. Because Cocomelon is the number one YouTube video for children, animated nursery rhymes, the ones you're familiar with, and then some new ones that they have designed as well. Now, the most oft sung song on Cocomelon is, the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round, drive the grandparents crazy, crazy. No, that's my added part to it. Now, I ask you this question. Does our 2.5-year-old granddaughter get tired of Cocomelon?
No.
Not a chance. Not a chance. Now, when she gets older, she might, but not now. Loves Cocomelon. So let me ask you this question. How many of you get tired of Easter and the Easter season and hearing the gospel from Matthew or from the other gospel? How many of you say, oh, I've heard that before. I don't hear that anymore. Probably not. We always want to hear that Easter story, and it never gets old because it refreshes us and reminds us of who we are and what we are in Jesus and what we have because of Jesus. Matthew's account of the resurrection morning has two women that show up, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Now, how would you like to be referred to in Scripture as the other Mary? So, does she have more of a name? But the other Mary, there was an angel sitting on the rock where Jesus was entombed. Then there was there were guards, and we know that they were shaking in their sandals because of what had happened, and they knew what that meant to them. Then the angel of the Lord said, and you hear this often in the Scriptures, do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the two Marys hear this and they proceed through the garden. And on their way to tell the disciples that Jesus is alive, who do they meet? They meet Jesus. No, that's that right? Yeah. Age is killing me. All of a sudden I was thinking it was an angel. They see Jesus and he welcomes them. And he says, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There you will see me. Now, there's a lot of fanfare around Easter. There's a lot of joy of Easter. But trying to explain Easter in all its complexity can be a challenge to us. We know the story. We know how it goes. We know the consequences of it. We know the results of Jesus' death and resurrection. But where does it go from here? I say that there's a 6-word autobiography that defines why we're here, why we continue to be here, and how our faith is propelled forward because of these 6 words that were proclaimed. Jesus has risen from the dead. Everything else we say and do in the Christian church is based upon this truth. It not only is hope for today, it's hope for tomorrow, and it's hope for beyond tomorrow. These 6 words are believed by over 2 billion Christians. He is not dead. He is alive. He has risen. And people stake their lives on these 6 words. These are the words that the breathless Marys hurried to give to the disciples. Peter and John, the rest of them that were huddled together out of fear, they couldn't wait to tell them what they had seen and heard. These are the words that have been passed down from generation to generation. Some of you have probably been in the church your whole life. Your parents were, your grandparents were. They passed the good news on. Sunday school teachers passed the good news on. Generation to generation. He's alive. And because he's alive, you're alive. Alive in him and alive to one another. These six words are spoken to 2 and then to 3 and then to 12 and then to 20 and then over 500. And here we are today. These same words, over and over, we say them. We believe them. We confess our faith in them. They're in our hymns. They're spoken to some degree or another at the bedside of someone who is ill, someone who is about to die and go to be with Christ. These are the words that are forbidden by some governments today.